actually identify with, say, some characters in a movie or a novel. And it's a very deep longing. We feel excited, thrilled by that. So how can we dovetail this in bhakti? And where does it come from? Is it a part of our nature? Yes, definitely. Again, the attraction to the supernatural is natural. There are atheists who may say, oh, you believe in all sorts of unscientific stuff. And those same atheists delight in watching science fiction movies or cartoons which depict all sorts of unscientific stuff. See, science may offer a particular framework for explaining certain things, but it doesn't satisfy the human heart. So we long for something deeper. And at the philosophical level, it is the heart's longing for Krishna. Krishna, he is beyond all laws. He is the supreme supernatural actor. And Krishna's pastimes demonstrate him doing many extraordinary things also. So when he does these extraordinary things, that is where our heart is originally attracted. But presently our heart is directed towards so many things elsewhere. And so we say that if first people see Narasimha Dev, they say, what is this, half man, half lion? What a queer thing. And those same people who deride a half man, half lion, you know, they adore a half man and a half spider, or a half man and a half bat. So it's the same tendency which is directed towards God originally, it gets misdirected elsewhere. So now in bhakti, at one level when we hear Krishna's pastimes, it is stimulating. At another level, there is also a lecture of Srila Prabhupada where he talks about using imagination in bhakti yoga. So what he says is, a devotee envisions that there is a throne in my heart, and that Krishna is situated in that throne. And Prabhupada said, this is not imagination. This is reality. Now, maybe what do you mean? Is it really there a throne in my heart? And is Krishna actually situated on that throne? So, what Srila Prabhupada means is that just as we have this propensity for imagining things, and that's again a very deep propensity. So, that can also be dovetailed in bhakti. So, the whole concept of Manas Puja, it is there in bhakti. That is essentially using our imagination. Oh, I cannot do it, but I would like to cook and offer something delicious to Krishna. But I don't have the resources to cook. So, let me imagine in my mind that I am cooking for Krishna. So, the imagination can be dovetailed in various ways. So, for example, there are many devotees, right? Devotees paint. Now, every single detail of a painting, it's not given in scripture. So there, when that painting is depicted, there is the imagination of the painter which builds on the details that are given in the painting. Similarly, when devotees write plays. So there are many plays which are written by there's a book called Nataka Chandrika, written by the Goswamis. And there they talk about what are the rules for, or the guidelines for writing plays in bhakti. And they say that there can be three kinds of characters. There are historical characters, there are imaginary or non-historical characters, and there are mixed characters. Mixed means historical and non-historical. So, for example, Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote a book about Prabhupada Antya Leela, how Prabhupada departed from the world. And there he uses Nataka Chandrika's rules. So he says that there are some characters, there is Prabhupada and there is disciples who were there with him in the last days. But then there is Bhakti Devi also. There is, I think, Vrinda Devi also. And they are also discussing, okay, now this is happening. This is how the emotions in the devotee's heart are being churned. So now somebody may ask, how do you know Bhakti Devi was there and she spoke this? When we use in this place, we use our imagination in the service of Krishna. We don't make any claim about the truth or otherwise of the play. But the important thing is the bhav, the emotion that is evoked. So as of now, the bhakti tradition is just, at least within Krishna consciousness, just 40-50 years old. So this scope of dovetailing the imagination in bhakti yoga, that has not yet developed much. So as that develops, then you know, we could have devotees writing devotional fiction. So again, I think Tamal Krishna Maharaj wrote a book called, what was that? the science of yoga, the story of Li Gongxi. So there he talked about some Chinese person who comes to America and then meets devotees and becomes a devotee. Several devotees told me that, Chinese devotees, they actually went to Chinese Krishna centers, so they want to meet this Li Gongxi. And then they told him he's a fiction character. They were disappointed actually. But by that time, through that fiction character, they had become attracted to Krishna's message. So, in the Christian tradition, they have used this devotional fiction quite a bit. So, C.S. Lewis, he wrote the series called the books of the Narnia series. So, C.S. Lewis was also a very prominent theologian. So, he said that there can be religious literature which are directly spiritual. And the mainstream culture today is entirely materialistic. So, the Christian community, he said, should create literature which is harmonious, it's not necessarily directly spiritual, but it is harmonious with the overall values of Christianity. So similarly, bhakti authors also need to create over time that kind of literature. So, by which we can dovetail that propensity to identify with something exciting, someone exciting. So I know one devotee, he's writing a fiction based on the Mahabharata. So his theme is that he's taking time travel, and in India, Karna is considered to be a very controversial character against whom there's a lot of injustice done. That's how it's perceived. So this devotee wants to analyze that. So he's envisioning a setting where there's a time travel and two young men, one who likes Karna, the other who likes Arjuna. Both of them, a time machine, go back 5,000 years. And they watch the Mahabharata. And each event they happen and they discuss, hey, was this right? Was this wrong? Was this right? Was this wrong? So, like that, there are various ways in which, so I would say, firstly, our longing for imagination that comes from our soul's longing for Krishna ultimately. Krishna does all kinds of supernatural things. That's why we long for something more than just the ordinary way of living, something exciting, something uplifting. And that can be dovetailed in bhakti directly through Manas Puja, where we envision doing devotional activities for Krishna. But that can also be dovetailed in culture and art, through painting, through literature, and through using overall the imagination in a way that is harmonious with the process of bhakti. Does that address your question? Thank you. Hare Krishna. Like to comment something?
I have a question.
Oh.